Good morning, I'm Jackie Maximilian. I'm going to talk about, I'm going to use my personal experience plus the extensive research to talk about how to increase applicability and effectiveness of research findings to indigenous and the underdeveloped community. I like to think myself as I'm representing indigenous and underdeveloped community in the world. So I would like to define it two terms before I start, and that's I call triple I's, which it stands for information, innovations, and interventions, or everything that scientists produce is called a triple I. Also, I like to talk about the what I call cultural carriers and pathways. This kind of replaces what we call cultural practices, because I feel like if you say cultural practices, it sounds like something very insignificant and unavoidable. But when you say cultural carrier and pathways, it's something that scientists relate to, so it sounds like it's very significant and very, like you can't avoid it. You cannot avoid it. So I'm going to use cultural carrier and pathways instead of cultural practices because I think it sounds more relevant. So I know everybody is wondering, who am I? So I'm, like I said, Jacqueline Maximilian. I was born in Tanzania many years ago. In Tanzania, I learned a lot about my indigenous knowledge. I had indigenous religion. I was born a Catholic, and I was born under socialism, and I also speak only two languages, Hai and Swahili. I did not speak English. So when I grew up to go to urban centers in Tanzania, where I started getting introduced to science. And then I learned British English. Then when I went to college, I did forestry, which was a Norwegian curriculum. Then I went to do my master's program, where I was introduced to scientific research. And then I learned a little about urban culture. And what did I do? And then I came to the United States to pursue my doctoral degree in natural resources. So there was another shift. I had to learn a different experience. I learned about capitalism. I had to learn American English, American culture, and American education. Also learned more about a different form of science, scientific research. So when I finished my PhD about 6 years ago, usually we know when you finish your PhD, everybody feel happy, you know, oh my God, 6 years, you are very happy. But unfortunately, this was me, you know. By the time I had all this experience, all this knowledge, I reached a point I'm like, who am I, really? Am I that little girl who was born in the village in Tanzania? Am I that girl who grew up in urban center? Am I an American? I was really completely lost. I didn't know where I was going. So this made me start wondering a little bit. If I can feel it that way, how about those poor farmers all over the world who have a different cultural foundation, and then we go into these communities to teach them how to apply a lot of these scientific findings, how do they feel at the end of the day, if I could feel that way. So I'm going to skip this one. So somebody might argue that, oh, I know many people tell me, oh, you are so knowledgeable, you have so many knowledge. So one thing that I struggled with was, is having a lot of knowledge and experiences a bad thing or a good thing? Is it effective or ineffective? So then I had to think about it a little bit. Then I said, yes, it could be effective if it is organized. The same way when you have a closet. Even if you have very expensive clothes, if you have not organized your closet, it's not very functional. So the same applies to the knowledge and experiences. If all this experience I have were organized in a very systematic manner, that such a way that the cultural foundation I have when I was in the village was tied in with all the education, all the experience, all the knowledge that I gained all the way through my PhD doctoral program when I was in the United States, it becomes more effective. But if they are not organized, you get some kind of a mess, you know, because you don't know which one to use and when to use it and how they work together. So then I started thinking a little bit like, how can we make this information or this knowledge that we produce so much here more useful to the poor and indigenous community all over the world? This isn't even including United States. We have a lot of indigenous and poor communities. So how do we do that? Then I said, Papa, we have a need for a very distinctive system for translating, sharing, and even implementing knowledge and experiences from the Western hemisphere. So why do we need to do that? Like I said, most of the time, this is how we operate. So you have a soil person, you have agronomy person everywhere. You go to these poor farmers, everybody starts saying, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. So what we end up is like we overload these poor people. It's not that they don't want the information, but it becomes so overwhelming because that's something I could relate to myself. I was so overwhelmed with all this information. So even if the information is very important, the way we transfer this, I don't think it's very effective. So when there's communication, but there's a right way effective and the right way to communicate the information, especially when you have somebody from a different cultural background. I don't know what's going on with my presentation. So another thing we do, we kind of discount and dispense. We go in, you assume that, oh, these people, it's like when you are trying to write a presentation, you can either have an empty slide or you can have a written slide. So when you see that there's no most of the time we assume there is now nothing on these communities, and then we start writing whatever we think is right. So it can be very dangerous because you can be overwriting on something that already exists. So, and most of the time that's where we've been operating. Also, another thing, the way we do research here is very specialized and very fragmented. The more you fragment research, does that diminish the relevance from the cultural landscape of the poor and indigenous community? So it's not that doing a specialized research is a bad thing, but at the end of the day, we need to tie this to the bigger picture to help the. So probably most of us, we are sitting here. So why should we care? Like you are wondering, why should I care about sharing my information or effective way of transmitting information to these indigenous people and the developed communities in the world? First of all, by doing that, we are expanding the applicability of research everywhere in the world. We have about 1 billion people who are extremely poor, but extremely chronically poor. By this, it means most likely they will stay poor for the rest of their life. So we call it the fourth world. So this is, I call it, that it's an untapped population that research can find. We can customize our research to this population. And so the way we do right now, we try to fragment more instead of growing our pie, and this could be a best way to grow our pie to this population. And the most dangerous thing is, disturbing thing is the majority of the population growth in the world is going to come from this population. So we should care about what's going to happen in the future. So another thing is increasing the effectiveness. United States is a global leader when it comes to the amount of research output. Even if you combine China, Brazil, South India, still we are global leader when it comes to research. So the question is that is the output, the research findings that we produce, is it effective? Is it helping people? And if it is, how do we measure that? Also, another why should we care is that we are having, from the University of Idaho, I didn't mention that, I know we are struggling with how do we get undergraduate research interested in research. Right now, I think it's only about 15% of the undergraduate students. By the fourth year, they're actually interested to continue with research. So if we can engage undergraduate students in this kind of transmitting this knowledge to indigenous community in the world, we can probably try to increase their research interest. And we should remember that 86% of the student body in the United States, they are undergraduate students. That's a huge, that's a big number. And these are the students who are, these are millennials. Most of the students are really interested in making difference in the world. So, and also the good thing is we already have a lot of programs in place, like service learning, we have internship, we have undergraduate research. So all, the only thing we need is to make these experiences more meaningful and then to make changes in the world. And another thing I like, the idea of undergraduate research, is just undergraduate students being involved, just because they are not developing the silos yet. They are more, they are not into, they are not biased, I like to think, to think that way. So they can be more objective compared to the, to graduate students or who are already starting to build silos, something like that. So another thing, one of the biggest problems in the world right now, we are continually privatizing extension services. So for poor farmers, it's very hard to afford to do, to pay for extension services. But if we include undergraduate students, that we can reduce the cost of trying to disseminate some of this information. Also, we can create some new venue for employment. Another factor, like why we should be involved, because we do have the capacity. Like I said, we have a large number of researchers in the world compared to many countries. So we do have the capacity. We can have some researchers who can be involved in just this kind of customized to work with just this kind of population. So how should we do this? I think we should do this by integrating all the research findings, scientific research findings, which what I call cultural carrier and pathways, through what I call ecological. What I call an ecological model of culture integration. So what we have, this model uses the scientific principles like biomimicry, cultural mimicry, and coexistence. Those science and most of the traditional culture, they are a little bit different, but does not mean that cannot coexist. And I said I'm based with three premises. Because these cultural carrier and pathways, they are intergenerational, so they are reliable. They have been used for generations, they have been tested with time, and they are valid. But so what we can focus on is using that reliability and the validity to use them as instruments for translating and for implementing some of these research findings. Also, I think for any research, for any innovation to be effective, it has to be a model of way of thinking. People have, it has to be part of the culture. And the, so to be able to be part of the culture, you have to use the cultural practices or cultural care and pathways of a community. So this is the model I'm talking about. So you have, already we have a lot of knowledge existing, and then we need to produce some, and then involve undergraduate students in this integration, and then we transfer this knowledge to where it is required. So I have, so if you talk about a partnership, I'm out of time? Oh, sorry. So, well, okay, in summary, if we are going to talk about ecosystem adaptation, cultural adaptation should be part of the equation. So how do we carry on from now? And that's how the only way we can actually increase applicability and effectiveness of research.
Thank you. We don't have any time for questions at this time, but...